Hey Nick, how are you doing?
Hi Martin, yeah, I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I'm pretty knackered, but not too bad. Not too bad. And you're tired as well, I believe. Bit of
for
a late night.
Different reasons, though. Yeah, I stayed up late watching the golf till 2 a.m. last night, but you were working over the weekend.
Yeah, I was, yeah. Busy weekend. So I was at the expo, the childcare expo.
Okay.
So yeah, so I drove up there on Thursday afternoon, and it was on Friday and Saturday, all day each of those days, which... But it was good, yeah. I learnt a lot, I think.
Well, come on in. What did you learn? How did it go? Tell us about it.
Well, I'll give you the full rundown then, should I?
Yes.
So I signed up for it just a couple of weeks ago. I think it was just... We were talking about it, weren't we, on the last podcast, whether I was going to do it or not. And I decided to go for it. I got quite a good rate for the stand for 2 days. And I was lucky, really, because I got to speak to Adam Stylo and also Ed McArdle. Dropped me a line after the podcast as well, because he's done some expos as well in the past. And I got some really good sort of information from them about what I should be doing. So the basics were sort of getting the stuff ready for the stand, really. So I didn't have any logo or anything like that or any marketing material. So I got some business cards done. Obviously, I had a logo designed, got the business cards done. I had a handout, which Adam sort of pointed out would be quite an important thing to be able to give people something to take away with them. And then a pull-up banner as well. So I got all that designed and then printed, and it's amazing how much work that is in itself, just getting all that together. But I managed to get that together. And then one of the key things that Ed said was to contact people before the event. I hadn't even thought about this. But he was suggesting that you can contact your existing customers, potential customers, or whatever, just to see if they're going, you know. And if they are going, get them to come and visit you. To be honest with you, I ran out a bit of time beforehand. So for that side of things, I don't have a massive list of customers, but I spoke to all my customers and none of them were going, but at least they were aware that I was going. And then I basically went through a list of people that were near where the event was. So the expo is in Manchester. So I basically found out loads of clubs that were around Manchester, and then whenever I got some time, I emailed them. And I only actually managed to get to about 20. Just sheer lack of time, really. But one of them turned up, so that was quite good.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I didn't get much chance to speak to them, unfortunately, but they sort of did a bit of a drive-by on the stand. I said, oh yeah, I got an email from you. I'll take one of your leaflets, and then they just sort of disappeared. But I can follow up with them and see if they're interested. So it was weird. I mean, I've done expos before, like with the FSB, really, just go in there, giving out information. It's kind of a bit easier that way because there's no real pressure on it. But I really wanted to make a good go of this. And I wasn't sure beforehand exactly whether there would be that many people from my target market there, because it's childcare generally, you know, so there were lots of nurseries there, there were lots of childminders there, that sort of thing. Mm. But I was quite pleased that there were... So it was busiest in the mornings. It opened 10 till 4, and between 10 and probably 1, it was the most busy on both days. And I was always talking to somebody, so that was good. There was always somebody interested. And I got 12 people to follow up with. Mm-hmm. No idea whether that's good or bad. I've got mixed emotions about it, really. I kind of feel as if 12 wasn't enough. I needed to get a lot more than that, and I was hoping to get a lot more than that. But based on the conversations I had and how busy the place was, I don't feel too bad about 12. I mean, I don't know what other expos are like, but this, after about 1 o'clock, it was practically dead. You know, there were people going to seminars and things like that, but in terms of walking around the floor, there was hardly anybody. Mm. So that wasn't great. So I got 12 people to follow up with. I've been doing that this morning. It was really nice, actually, because I got these handouts, and quite a lot of people would just grab a handout and run. You know, they wouldn't even talk to you, which was a bit weird. But it was nice to see people walking around the place with your handouts in their hands, you know.
It's feel like a proper company and everything.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it's quite funny. Yeah, it's quite a nice feeling.
So what was the feedback from the 12 people that you spoke to and need to follow up with from speaking to them at the conference?
Well, I didn't do a brilliant job of it, I have to say, despite being prepped by Adam and by Ed. You know, I did as much of the contacting beforehand as I could, and I think one of the lessons learned is that if I do it again, I'll spend a lot more time on that, because it was good, you know, seeing somebody know that you were there and expecting to see you. I didn't do a great job on the whole asking open questions. So Ed was suggesting that you need to get them talking and listen to what they say, you know, and then just not try and not talk too much and rather let them talk, and then follow up with them later on. You know, make sure that you've proved to them that that they should be interested in your product, and then follow up with them later on. And I wasn't very good at that. I think not being a natural outgoing person, I guess it's difficult, really, because you're somebody you've never met before, just bumped into them, and I a couple of times on the Friday especially, I noticed I was kind of rushing through things. You know, I was thinking I don't want to take up too much of their time, but at the same time I want to make sure I get their contact details. You know, I was whizzing around like that. And I got a bit better towards the end of Friday, and on Saturday I'd asking the open questions. And so I got a lot of good feedback about what people were doing, and it was reassuring that I'm on the right track, I think.
Mm.
A lot of the stuff that they were saying is stuff that I was doing. And so there were a few people that were quite excited about having a demo. Now, that's face-to-face. We'll find out this week when I follow up with them all whether that actually results in the demo. But yeah, it was good, I think. I came away feeling confident that what I'm doing is definitely on the right track.
Well, that's good. Then you can't really ask, well, apart from getting those 12 people to be 12 customers.
Yeah, that's it.
Sounds like at least you got to speak to a lot more people about the product and the idea and stuff. And if you've come away feeling confident that, you know, there is the market for this product, then that's good.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it is good. Overall, I'd say it's good. Like I said, I've got mixed feelings because I was, you know, in my sort of dream result, I was hoping to have had a lot more people to follow up with, a lot more people to speak to. But hey ho, you know, it was the first time, and I didn't, like I said, I know I didn't do as good a job as I could have done. So there's a lot of learnings there. Another thing that came across was, I guess this is a downside of having it rushed a bit in terms of getting the designs and the banners and everything done, is I spoke to a guy there who was a kind of consultant to the sector, and he was suggesting that it was a bit corporate,
right?
You know, the branding and stuff. And looking at it, it is. It's just kind of like, you know, blue and white, and no real images or anything. And that is a consequence of doing it as quickly as possible. But I think next time I'll make it a bit more sort of fun and childcare oriented. But that was a good bit of feedback. And there was another thing as well. On the Friday night, there was an exhibitors party. And that was good to go to as well, to network with some of the other exhibitors. There were loads of companies there that did day nursery software. And they were really good to talk to, because a lot of the companies that run day nurseries that have after school clubs or, you know, holiday clubs or anything, they use their day nursery software for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it works for them, because generally their customers are their existing customers of the nursery. But they were also saying that it doesn't work for them that well. It's not a good fit, really, for the clubs. The problem is that because they've spent all this money on their day nursery software, they weren't prepared to take on another bit of software. So that was another learning that I got. But speaking to the day nursery software companies, they were saying that, you know, there's a massive competition in day nurseries. There's just so many different companies out there doing it. And it was, you know, some of them were saying it's good that I'm just going after that niche, because it's quite narrow, and like I said, there's not that much specific software out there for it. But they also flagged up the downside, which is it's a relatively small niche as far as they're concerned. I'm not sure whether that's good or bad. I think probably good. You know, I've identified plenty of companies in each town whenever I've done a search, so I think there's enough out there for me, at least. But it's something to be wary of, I guess.
There's enough people to get you 100 customers, do you reckon?
Yeah, so I think there is. I think there's enough to get to my 100 customers and you know, get a decent sort of business going, so that I can, because the whole idea is to try and get away from the freelancing, isn't it? And so if I can get this business going that does that, and then look at the next business if necessary, or maybe expand this in some way. Yeah, so anyway, lots of food for thought from it. Lots of information.
Will the conference organisers share the email addresses of all the attendees? So you can kind of do a general mass email.
That was one of the problems. I spoke to Ed, was saying that quite often the conference organisers will have a list of the people that are coming that you can then have a look at and, you know, email the people that you want to. But they didn't with this one. The only way to reach them really was through the news that they sent out.
Right.
And so I did do that. I sent them a sort of brief article to send out and put on their website and stuff. So it's really unclear how much impact that had. You know, it only had like about 10 visits to the website from their article on their website. So I'm not sure that really had much of an effect. Mm.
And do these people organise conferences often then? Is there going to be more that you can go to and do?
Yeah, they do 3 a year. There's one in Manchester, there's one in Birmingham, and there's one in London. So I think I'm kind of going to reserve judgment, see how this goes with the follow-up, and then if it goes well, I'll probably go for another one. Why not, you know?
Yeah, excellent.
If it works out.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was good. Well, like I say, good. Generally good, but it's knackering. It's amazing how tiring it is standing up all day.
Yeah, it's hard work. I remember when we were doing the conferences in Las Vegas, you'd stand in up sometimes 10 hours a day, and then obviously you're in Vegas, so there's drinks and stuff going on afterwards.
Yeah.
It's like a bloody, I can't think of the right word, a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the only way I can say it.
Well, on the Friday night, you know, everyone...
Endurance event, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. But on the Friday night, I was driving because I was staying with my grandfather. But on the Friday night, everyone was out having a few beers, you know, on this exhibitors party. And I was thinking, I'm so glad that I'm driving in many ways, because otherwise the Saturday would have been a write-off. It would have been really hard work.
Cool. So what are you going to be working on then? Just following up with those people for the next couple of weeks and trying to get them onto demos and move them to the pipeline?
Well, I mean, there's only 12 to follow up with, so I've nearly done it all, you know. But I'll send them follow-up emails, and I'm hoping that I'll get at least half of them on a demo. And then from that, hopefully get some of them onto into customers. And one of the interesting things was that Ed said, and a few other people said as well, at the conference, was that it's not really just about getting the sales, because I reckon if I get 3 sales, you know, 3 people to sign up, it will have covered the cost of the conference, the exhibition. But that's not really the way to look at it, apparently, because people talk to each other, you know, within the industry, and a lot of people don't. When somebody's new on the scene, like you know, the Kids Club HQ is, they see it and they think, oh, right, okay, that's there. And then they'll look out for it, or they'll just notice if they see the brand again and again and again. And that on its own kind of builds a bit of trust.
Mm.
So a lot of the people there were saying that they go along just for that purpose, really, is just to make sure that people are still aware of them and they're still out there. And the more people sort of recognise them as being at these things, the more they sort of trust them as a ongoing concern, you know, something that they should be looking at. So
yeah, we used to get that comment from with Lightning Tools. Well, there's 2 things really to comment on. We could never really say that we made a profit from going to conferences. We quite often covered our costs, which was the main thing. But then, as you say, it was about brand awareness and people seeing you there, because if they see you for 1 year at a conference but you're not there the next, then they kind of start asking questions. Mm. And a lot of people we did speak to did say, you know, because we went to the official Microsoft SharePoint conference, and so you were kind of expected to be there. And a couple of people did say to us, you know, if there is a vendor but they're not here, we won't buy any tools or products from them.
Right.
Because they're either not serious in this space, or we don't know how long they're going to perhaps be around, type thing.
That's interesting.
So now you've been once, you've got to keep going.
Yeah, the difficult thing that I struggled with was, and I didn't know what it was going to be like beforehand, was my market was quite a small percentage of the attendees at the exhibition. So that's why I was fairly pleased with getting the 12 people for follow-up. and some of those were quite enthusiastic, so I was pleased with that. And I don't think, I've not been able to find another conference which is more specific to my market, and I think that's basically because it's quite a small niche. So I guess I'll just have to keep going.
Start your own one.
I did think about that, and I thought, yeah, well, maybe next year. but certainly running events, I could possibly put on an event.
Well, you see, because I've been umming and ahhing about doing a podcast around either, you know, the business of golf or something like that.
Yeah.
And the way I've kind of been thinking about it was, because there's a couple of people who do similar things to the golf websites and so on. If one of those competitors started it up, would I be annoyed? And I would, you know, I've been umming and ahhing about this podcast and someone else started it up and it started flying, you know, that's when you start kicking yourself. So I don't know what the situation is in terms of, you know, competitors to your kids' club HQ, but, you know, if one of your competitors did start doing a conference, is that something you'd be annoyed with yourself for not doing and start kicking yourself about, I guess?
It is, yeah, definitely. It's a good point. Everything's around time, though, isn't it? You know,
I mean, you could, there's no reason why you can't, you don't have to do, it doesn't have to be a conference, but like you say, when you look at a particular region, you find enough people there to think this is a viable idea. Why not start doing, you know, just informal meetups in the pub? That's what we started doing with a SharePoint user group. I think there was four of us turned up to the first one in London, and it grew to like having, you know, 200 people turning up to meetings and stuff like that. So
that's an interesting point.
You can just say to people, you know, I'm in the area. Sorry, my headset just fell off. I'm in the area. You know, let me buy you a drink and perhaps dinner, and we'll have a chat about your business and if there's any way I can help you out, type thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I might do something like that. Yeah.
But yeah. It's all about time, isn't it?
It is about time at the moment, unfortunately, as always. The biggest restricting factor.
Indeed.
So what have you been up to?
Well, I've been travelling around like a madman.
Oh dear.
Been back to Gloucester. Well, this is one of the downsides of living in Bude, isn't it? So we've been here for 6 weeks now, so I've not been back to Gloucester to catch up with various people who work on Voucher Codes Pro for a while. So went back there for a couple of days. The good thing was I brought my mum back with me, so she's been at our house for a week helping out with the kids, which is brilliant.
Cool.
It's kind of funny because I guess the idea of bringing mum back was to help Sophie out, but it's actually she's taken my burden, my jobs away from me, so it's actually been good for me.
Yeah.
Which is funny. And the kids, I loved having her around as well, so that's been good.
Yeah.
So I went back to Gloucester, then I had one day back in Bude and then had to go back to Reading. Went back Friday morning. I set off at 4 a.m. to avoid all the traffic around Bristol and stuff. We need to decide what to do with our house in Reading, really, because we did a budget the other week. And although we thought, you know, we've just got to cover our mortgage cost in Reading, there's all council tax you still have to keep paying, water rates, all that kind of stuff. So it adds up to actually double what we kind of just, you know, initially thought we'd end up having to cover.
Right.
So we need to decide whether we want to rent out that house or if we're going to stay down here, sorry, long term, whether to rent it out or whether we're going to sell it or whatever. So I came back to Reading to meet up with the lettings agent, painter, decorator. And then on Saturday, I had a doubles match, golf match, because me and Mark Day, my doubles partner, were still in a competition. And so I said to him, you know, I did enter it with you, so for the matches, I'll keep coming back, thinking we'd have got knocked out about two rounds ago. But we bloody won our match again on Saturdays. I don't know how, because I stayed at Mark's house and we went out for quite a few beers on Friday night, which we weren't supposed to do. I was kind of like, well, I've made this bloody journey all the way back. I'm not going to be hungover and then, you know, play crap at golf. But we did. We were both hungover like dogs on Saturday morning. But we somehow managed to get our way through it. So we're actually in the quarterfinals now, which is quite funny.
Brilliant. That's good. You'll end up being champions.
Yeah. So, well, it could be my last opportunity to get my name up on the board for winning a competition, so that would be quite good, wouldn't it? So.
Yeah.
But apart from all that driving around and stuff, in terms of work, I think last time I was trying to do the kind of cold outreach, wasn't I, to golfers and stuff. And so I decided that I wanted to get an email marketing campaign set up so that rather than just try and pitch them and say, you know, I can do your website and help you with your marketing and stuff, try and push them into a marketing type funnel thing. And so this took me ages to write this email course. And I don't know why. I seem to be procrastinating it over so much. I'd almost like write a sentence and then go, ah, I deserve a 10-minute break now. Let's go browse the website and go back and write another sentence and go, oh, no, I deserve another break now. So I should have been able to bang it out in like 2 days. Took probably a week at least, probably almost 2 weeks. But now it's done. So, and then I put it into Drip. So cool. Get Drip, the tool by Rob Wallin, started using that. That's the easiest Pi to set up. And then it was a case of putting or collecting people's email addresses or whatever and trying to send them through. So again, like you, for, you know, you said you had a number of people to contact before the conference and stuff.
Mm.
It's easy for me to find these people because a lot of them are on Twitter, you know, even if they haven't got a website or whatever, I can send them a tweet or whatever. But the actual process of collecting them is quick. But then the actual process of like sending an email, you know, saying, this is what I can do. Also got this free email course for you that you can go and sign up for and try out. It just seems to take ages.
Yeah.
Are you
tailoring them for each person?
No, so I changed the name. That's it. So like I say, I don't know why it's taken me so long to get through. I mean, I've counted through, I've sent 22, I collected 65 so far, and I've only contacted like 22 of them. I think it's like almost like the procrastination thing again, where I send one email and go, oh, deserve a little break now, I've done a bit of work. But at the same time, I'm getting a bit frustrated and disheartened in terms of I'm not hearing back from anyone. So I've emailed 28 or contacted 28. 8 people have actually signed up for the email course, which is that's quite a good conversion rate, I guess. And a few of them have gone through the 5 email course, and it's kind of come to an end with a little pitch at the end saying, you know, if everything I've spoken to you about in the last email. So there's a thing about the types of thing they can do, Facebook posts about what they should always be marketing. Getting a website, blah blah blah. It kind of the pitch on the last email is, you know, if you're serious about this, you can do these things yourself, but it's quite time consuming. We've got a system set up to get it done quickly for you and keep the marketing going while you're out teaching or playing golf. So it does the pitch to them, but I think probably 3 or 4 people have come to the end of the course. No one's unsubscribed halfway through, which I guess is a bit of a win. But no one's taken up the offer yet.
But I guess he's talking about, I mean, I don't know what kind of conversion rates people generally get, but what, 10%, would that be good, do you think?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
So you probably need 100 before you'll get 10, you know, so.
I just need to crack on through, don't I? I don't, it's like you kind of want to hear from people, don't you, to a yes or a no.
yeah, you do.
Silence is the worst, the worst one, isn't it? Because you don't know. You get no feedback then.
Yeah, at least, you know, you want someone to tell you if it's rubbish or if they thought it was good or whatever they thought, you know, even if they didn't sign up. Yeah, it's interesting. It's funny you say about that, writing the course took so long. I mean, I've found that as well whenever I'm writing stuff like that. It just takes forever. You know, you think you should be able to do it in a couple of hours, but it just takes days and days. I don't know what it is. I guess it's just procrastination, like you say. But, yeah, it's difficult.
It's weird as well because I did a little flowchart in my mind. Did it on a scrap of paper of like, you know, I've got to get this email course written before I start contacting people, and then, you know, the 5 steps I needed to do before I could start doing outreach. So I knew that the writing was the first job to do before I could move on to kind of the next step. And so I knew that was a roadblock. But eventually got it done.
I thought they were good as well. By the way, I went.
Oh, thank you.
I saw the course, so I thought they were quite good.
So I guess I've got these, like I say, it's easy to find out the golf pros because they all follow each other on Twitter, and so I can harvest them quite easily. So I think I'll perhaps get up to 100 or so, like you say, and try and push more people through the drip campaign, and then we'll see where we get to.
Have you got another follow-up for the ones that have completed sort of like a week later or something?
No, but yeah, I think that would be a good idea, wouldn't it, to just drop them another email and say, hey, what did you think of the course? And yeah, I can say, look, I know you might not be interested in taking up the offer, but it'd be really useful from a personal point of view if you could let me know what you thought.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That'd be good to know, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's about it, really. I've not kind of put any development stuff on hold at the moment because I kind of want to find out if, apart from, you know, the 2 or 3 people that I've built sites for, whether it's kind of going to be not a mass market product, but, you know, if there's going to be enough golf pros who want to take this up. I'm a bit worried again. It's perhaps me, you know, foreseeing doom rather, because I don't know, but I'm a bit worried that the golf pros kind of consider the business that they get through the golf club, so the kind of the walk-in traffic is enough to keep them going, and they're not too worried about the online marketing side of things, because mostly golf pros are associated with a golf club.
Yeah.
So they do have that membership of that golf club to kind of get business from.
Yeah.
Whether most think they see that as enough for them.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because I guess the key thing is they want to play golf. So as long as they're getting enough coming through to pay them and they can live reasonably well and play golf when they want, then that's them happy, isn't it?
Yeah, and so the difference with Gareth is he has kind of accepted that the majority of his living is going to come from teaching.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of golf pros still perhaps think they're going to make it and are going to be on the PGA Tour and are going to be rubbing shoulders with Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth. Still harbour that ambition. So the people I want to kind of, I guess, work with more are the people who are, you know, decided that teaching golf is going to be, you know, their future going forward.
Yeah.
Rather than the people who just want to do a couple of lessons a day, you know, like just to fund their continuing playing. Yeah,
it's difficult, isn't it? Because you've got, when you start to look at it, you think, oh, well, that's my market there. And then you look at it again and you think, actually, my market's those people in that market. And then you can narrow it down further and further and further. Mm. Which I suppose is good, because then you can identify a good persona of this person is definitely somebody that would want this. So maybe as you get further into it, you'll be able to identify which of those people that you find on Twitter are actually going to be interested and which maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm in The Dip. You know, Seth Godin wrote that book called The Dip.
Yeah.
Where you kind of have the enthusiasm and the initial customers and stuff. And then after you've fulfilled the needs of those initial customers, which I've done, you're kind of in the dip of, well, I need to get more now. This is where the hard work really begins. So, and it's not writing code, is it? Because kind of like, I guess that's what we enjoy, is the writing code part of it. But I need to put that on hold at the moment and just focus on the marketing and getting new customers and seeing if it is viable going forward.
Yeah, I think I agree, yeah. There were a couple of people I met as well at this exhibition that do magazines.
Right.
They publish magazines in the sector. And a few people suggested that would be a good idea just to put some adverts in. Again, more for brand awareness than anything, but if you can drive some traffic that way to the website, or, you know, maybe some contacts, that would be useful. I'm thinking I need to do, it's funny, whenever you do something, I think, oh, I should be doing that as well. So this email course that you did, I was thinking I should probably put something together like that. But I'm not.
It's just so, I guess from your point of view, it's just, because I had, when you were saying about when you're at conferences, you kind of feel like you have to talk, don't you? Because at Lightning Tools, we had four completely different products. So you feel like you've got to tell that person about those four products as quickly as you can before they lose interest and they're going to walk off.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got, like you say, the aim of the conversation really is to get their contact details.
Yeah.
And so if you have got something you can give them so you can follow up at a later date, we used to often do competitions at the stand with Lightning Tools just to collect people's business cards, which wasn't, you didn't always then have know that the person had an interest in your product, because they perhaps were just entering to win the competition. But to get back to the original thing, if you have got this drip email marketing campaign, it is a way to get, you know, people into your funnel and be able to start marketing to them, because you've got their contact details and their email address or whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, at the moment there's no traffic coming to the website, so that's the thing. I'd have to work out a way of getting traffic there as well, you know, so that people would sign up, but as well as the leaflets and things that have been handed out. Yeah, there's so much to do.
I guess it is like that traction book by Gabriel Weinberg.
Yeah.
It is of just trying a attraction channel, isn't it? And you try it for a month or whatever, how long, and if it doesn't work, move on to the next one.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just make sure you've thoroughly exhausted that channel before you move on.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's something definitely worth doing. Well, one of the things that has annoyed me a bit as well while I was there is that lots of people were saying, oh, I'll have a look at your website and see what you do. And I'm like, oh, no, you know, because there's nothing on the website yet. I can't just tell you now, you know. Another thing was that I'd ordered an electrical socket for the stand, because what I was going to do was going to take a monitor and just have a video of the app, you know, a demo video on loop so that people could at least see it and I could talk through it if necessary. And again, I was talking to Ed about this, and Ed was saying, "Oh no, don't do that." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Nobody wants to know. Nobody's that interested." Basically, you want to be talking to people, and then, you know, if you've identified that they're interested and there's somebody that you'd be interested in, then follow up with them. That's what you want to do, and then get a proper face-to-face demo. He says, rarely do people want to see the actual product. And that was so true, because what I did, instead of doing that, I had a lot of screenshots, and I put them into a presentation and put them on an iPad. So I had this iPad there ready to show people if they were interested in various bits of the app. Mm. And I think I showed it twice in the whole 2 days. Most people weren't even interested. They just wanted to know about whether you could solve their problem.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to wander off, you know, and speak to you about it some other time. So that was quite an interesting lesson. Plus, it saved me £100, because it was £100 for a socket.
Crikey. Yeah, they'd rip you off at these conferences.
They certainly do. It's funny, because they're like, you know, oh yeah, it's so much. I think it was £100 for the socket for the 2 days. And then that was like the lowest rated socket. If you wanted a higher rating socket, you had to pay more. And then as well as that, which really wound me up, was that I was filling in the booking form, and then at the bottom of the booking form, it said £15 for a mandatory electrical inspection. So it's like, for fuck's sake, it's, why don't you just put it all in one price? If it's mandatory, you've got to have the inspection. Just roll it all up. But of course, the usual sort of sales tactics of making it look cheaper than it is.
Yeah.
So fortunately, I was able to cancel that before it had gone through, and save myself some money. That was worth doing. So that's a good lesson as well, actually, is not to worry too much about being able to demo stuff there and then.
Mm. Yeah, I think the demo, like I think Ed said, you know, it's not that useful, but it might. Well, we always used to have a screen there just with a kind of rolling PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Yeah, I was going to do that.
When we did it, it certainly kind of attracts people's attention from afar.
Yeah.
Kind of draws them in a bit. But yeah, perhaps something to try for next time.
It's a different kind of market as well, because one of the things I found in this market was that there were hardly anybody had business cards. And so I was trying to collect business cards, but they didn't have them. So I basically had a notebook when I was scribbling down people's email addresses as I was talking to them. And also, they weren't very technical, which I guess is my audience anyway. So in terms of the technicalities of how things worked, I sometimes had to explain a few times about how they could access it even, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
So yeah, I guess if you've got a more techie audience, they might be more interested in seeing it. But anyway,
cool. So I've been on a bit of a downer saying about the outreach and not hearing back from people. But I'm kind of a bit more motivated now to actually bash on through and get it done. So at least I kind of know one way or the other.
Yeah, good. I mean, I feel a bit like that as well. I'm feeling a bit of a downer. It's Monday morning blues, and it's I'm knackered anyway after the exploits. So it's a bit tricky to get going, but
that's the problem. We usually do it on a Thursday, Friday, which is the end of the week, and so we kind of got the weekend to look forward to. But
yeah,
perhaps we shouldn't do it on Monday mornings anymore.
No, I think we should probably avoid that from now on.
Monday blues, that's what we can have the title of the podcast to be.
Yeah, I think it will be, actually, because I can't think of anything else. I've got a bit of stuff, actually.
Go on, I've got nothing, so you go for it.
Well, one of the things was having a CRM system. So I've been tracking stuff just in Excel spreadsheets, which is horrible when you get, you know, where you have to scroll down at all, then all of a sudden it's getting a bit too difficult to manage for me. So there's a free CRM system from HubSpot. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've seen it advertised to me on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, it's fairly basic. Well, it's not actually. It's quite good in that it captures the information that you need to capture, and you can sort of... It's got plugins for Gmail and for Outlook on Windows, so that you can automatically send emails into it and stuff like that, so it tracks all this stuff. And then obviously you've got the additional features, which you can pay for if you want the additional features. But all I wanted to do was track people that I was emailing and have them automatically go into the system. So I've been using it simply for that. And I've only been using it for a week, so I can't give you a full-on it's amazing or it's rubbish. But it's quite good so far.
Does it do pixel tracking to find out if people have opened... email and clicked on links.
It does if you send the emails from within the CRM app, or you use the plugins that they've got. Now, unfortunately, I use Outlook on Mac for these email for this email address, and there isn't a plugin for Outlook on Mac. So what you can do is you've got an email address that you can BCC. So I've been BCCing the emails to the HubSpot account, which means that they automatically get added as a contact. You know, if they're not already in the system, they get added as a contact. And it also does some clever stuff with the domain name, and it will pull in the information from the website, like the contact company name, any contact details it can find on the website, that sort of stuff. So like Twitter accounts and stuff like that, it will pull in automatically, so you don't have to worry about going through all that. So it's quite good in that sort of respect.
I might try out, when I was wondering about whether people are receiving these emails or reading them, I did look at trying Tout Up, which does the whole tracking to a certain degree as to whether people have opened them and click on them, but it was just too... it annoyed me, really, because all I wanted to know was, are people opening the email? But it is really like almost a fully fledged CRM type thing. And it started to annoy me, so I gave up in the end. Considering I just want to know, although it is important, I guess, I wanted to know a relatively simple thing, are they opening emails? So maybe I'll look at HubSpot CRM and see what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit annoyed when I realised that I'd got the one combination of things like Outlook on Mac, which didn't have a plugin for it. But it's done what I need it to do, which is track the contacts and automatically add them into the CRM system so that they're there rather than just in an Excel spreadsheet and in my inbox separately, you know. So that's good. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah, it's good.
Cool.
Okay, so get to it. Outreach follow-up.
Let's do it.
So 2 weeks time, we might be
even more miserable next podcast.
Yeah, nobody replied. Nobody wants a demo.
New product idea. Let's go.
No, it'll be good. We'll get them all.
Right.
Cool. All right. Have a good day.
Yeah. Have a good week.
Speak to you soon.
All right. Cheers, Martin.
Cheers, Nick.